All right, let's look at lesson 34 in predestination. The word predestinate comes from a compound word of pro, which means, is a Greek word before, horizos. It'd be spelled H-O-R-I-Z-O, horizo would be the nominative of it. That's where we get our word horizon from the word horizo. The word means to set a bound, or a boundary, to restrict, to fix, to determine, to appoint. Actually, put these words together, we'd say that they've had a bounds set before, or to mark something out beforehand. On predestination, lesson 34. The word election, you're writing this down, comes from a Greek word of eklektos. The word ek is a preposition out of, and lektos come as a thought to pick, to choose, to select, to, so especially for a special purpose. Colossians 3:12 is a good, let me read that to you real quick. Put on therefore as the elect of God, now here's God's elect, a holy, beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, quarreling with one another. This is the elect of God. It's a picked out people selected for a special privilege. What we mean when we have election. The word predestinate people is a marked out beforehand. All right, with this in mind, let's look at our lesson. First, we look at God's part. And I'm not going to look at all these verses this morning because we won't have time to. I want you to study each one of them, though. But there's God's part and man's part of predestination and election. God is sinless. Man is sinful. God is perfect, complete, and everything. Man is just the opposite, isn't he? Can you think in your own mind how God felt when he walked in the garden that evening in the cool of the day Adam had sinned and was hiding from God? He loved man, and yet man was in the depths of sin. And in our lesson sheet, it quotes Ephesians 2:1, which we read in our previous lesson, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses of sin." God hates sin, but he loves the sinner. He did something about it. He gave his only son to die on a cross for the sinner. And we have the scriptures in our lesson sheet concerning that. God gave his son. Christ gave himself. God made means of reconciliation between God and man. Christ offered himself a sin covering or propitiation for sin. And this is for the whole fallen human race that Christ died for, not just some. Now, there is a doctrine by some Calvinistic following people that believe that Jesus didn't die for everybody, that some predestination means that some people are predestined to be lost and some people are predestined to be saved, and no matter what they do, they can't change this fact. But this is not what the Scripture teaches. Scripture teaches that Jesus died for all, for every human being, for all sinners. All has come short of the glory of God. The same sentence of death has passed upon all men. There is no other people but sinners. Jesus died for all of them. He raised all of them from the grave. Our part is to believe it. Number three here, see. Whosoever believeth, that's our part. And anyone that will believe becomes a new creature, becomes born again, becomes a child of the living God. Our lesson, she says, the word believe or believeth occurs 90 times in John's Gospel. That's quite interesting. I didn't count them myself. Proving that salvation is by faith for whosoever will. Romans 10 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, this is God's way. Our part is to call upon the name of the Lord. Our part is to simply believe God. God has done all the work for salvation. Our part is to believe him for it. Then let's drop on down. First example of man's attitude was in Cain and Abel. Cain. Cain refused to believe God, didn't he? Did they both have the same opportunities? Did not Adam teach both of them the same in redemption, in salvation, or foreshadowed in Genesis 3:21? This is when God himself, let's turn over and look at that, Genesis 3, and we all know the scriptures, but let's read them again. 3:21, and Adam knew his wife, and Adam also and his wife did the Lord God make skins of coats of skin and covered them. This is the first example of God's means of redemption and salvation, was the offering of an animal to cover sin. This was God's type of propitiation for sin. Adam taught his children that there had to be a sacrifice for sin. But that doesn't mean that both of his children believed him, did it? Evidently, Abel believed the teachings that God had foreshadowed Adam. Cain refused to believe. And I'm not going to read all of this in chapter 4, but Abel offered his sacrifice. Cain offered the fruits of his hands, or his own works. God rejected the works of his hand and accepted the blood sacrifice that was offered there. There's one verse I'm trying to find here while I'm talking, that God gave Cain another choice. Find that verse here. Verses 6 and 7. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, thou shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at thy door. Now, a better rendering of this is a sin offering lying at your door, and shall be, and unto thee shall be the sin offering's desire, and thou shalt rule over the sin offering. That's a thought that we have in there, see. There's a sin offering line. And God gave Cain another chance to offer an offering for sin. So we have a choice here. One believed not. They both knew the way. Abel was accepted. Cain was rejected. One was become a vagabond, and the other one, we read in Hebrews 11, is still speaking today. Hebrews 11, 4, it says, and Abel is still speaking. His works is still, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testified of his gift, and by this being dead, yet speaketh. And God honored him, and this is the same way today. God honors those that believe him, unto salvation or unto anything else. And so, this is a beautiful picture of that. All right, apparent contradiction to this fact. In Ephesians 1, and this is very, we need to turn over there and look at that, of how this is worded. First chapter of Ephesians, I'm going to read a little earlier, I believe, in the lesson sheet states, read from verse 3. And I want us to see that we're talking about a spiritual body of people, not individuals. This is what we're talking about here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us, notice the plural, the whole new creation has been blessed with spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now we read in chapter 2 that we were all raised up together and made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The whole new creation, the old creation, the Adam race, was plunged into death, and a new creation came forth out of that grave and was taken and seated in heaven. So we're talking about a new race of people that have been blessed in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You became a part of that new race by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, by believing in him. All right, according as he had chosen us in Christ. You see, this is a new creation that was chosen in Christ, not individuals. I was not chosen Art Eggers before the foundation of the world because I wasn't even Art Eggers then. Now, this is, I think our lesson sheet mentions it, but I believe now is a time to mention it. It is a difference between predestination and foreknowledge. God foreknows all things, but all things are not predestined. Destiny was not set for all things. Although God knew you was going to receive Christ as your Savior, yet that destiny was not set for you to receive Christ as your Savior. So the only thing that was predestined before the foundation of the world was a new creation. This was in God's plan before anything was ever made that was made, that God would have a people just exactly like His Son. I'm not just exactly like His Son, but a new creation is just exactly like His Son. And I became a part of a resurrected body of people just like Jesus by faith when I accept Christ as my Savior. So according as He has chosen a new creation in Christ before the foundation of the world, in order that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Now this is what God wants, and this is what He had in Christ. And we become a part of this, having predestinated us into the son placing of children. That's the way that should read. The word adoption comes from a Greek word that means to place in a position as a son. And this is what God did with a new creation, isn't it? When He raised from the dead, He led many sons to glory. We became a son of God, placed in that position in a new creation. And so having predestinated us unto the son placing of sons, this is what God wanted before the foundation of the world. He wanted a son. He wanted a bride for His Son. He wanted a spiritual body of people. And He has them in Christ Jesus, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. See, this whole new creation is accepted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And because I am a part of a new creation, then you see I am accepted in Him. So it's a new creation that was marked out. The word us is not individual, it's a collective word of all of the new creation. All of us in Christ, you see, as a new creature in Christ Jesus. God's choice did not determine by faith, but by my faith determined God's choice. See, when I by faith received Christ as my Savior, then I was put into that place. I was chosen of God, a new creature, as I believed Him for it. Now, it's God's work that caused me to believe. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. Read the 16th chapter of John. And He would lead us and guide us in the truth. He would convict us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, and so forth. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. He would not speak of Himself, but He would speak of Christ. And the Holy Spirit woos us and draws people into this new creation life. So we can't brag about believing either, but we can reject believing. And no matter what the Holy Spirit woos, we can say, no, we do have this choice. If a person chooses not to accept Christ, then they're not part of Him. According to His good pleasure, it's His good pleasure to save each one that would believe. Not the ones that was marked out or elected, not just certain ones. See, God wouldn't even be a just God or a fair God, would He, to say, you can't be saved. Even though Christ died for you, can't be saved. That wouldn't even make good sense, wouldn't it? He died for everyone, in order for everyone to become a new creation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The plan and purpose and process are absolute, fixed, inevitable, independent of the creature, hand, and voice. The results are relative, dependent upon man's attitude to God's Son. Well, we have an objection to this then. Ephesians 2, turn over and look at that. Ephesians 2:8 says that it is a gift. And most people take this as faith is a gift. But I'd like to read this to you out of the Greek text. It says, Now the word saved here, the word saved is in the nominative case. And so it becomes the subject of the sentence. Nominative case is always the subject. So it should read like this. And you having been saved by grace. Grace is in the dative case, which is supporting. You having been saved. You see, this is a nominative, plural, masculine participle. And having been saved by grace through faith. You see, now faith is the means of our salvation. Through faith. And this not of yourself, it is the gift of God. What is the gift of God? Salvation. You see, we have to go back to the subject, don't we? Salvation is the gift of God. He gave his only begotten Son to die on a cross for us. God gave because he loved us. He gave us salvation. We laid hold of this because God manifested his grace upon us. God gave us the faith to lay hold of it, and we appropriated it. But we still had the choice of not taking it if we didn't want to. All right, difficult portions. Names written beforehand. Let's look in Revelation 13:8. We won't look at both of them. They're close enough alike that we... And all that dwell on the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now this doesn't mean that the names was before the foundation of the world. It means that the book of life of the Lamb, and the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. It was slain by the faith of God. Faith it is in his own operation. So the Lamb was slain by faith before the foundation of the world. When were the names inscribed? God saw a new race by faith. He saw a new creation before the foundation of the world too. But the names were inscribed. Really, I'm not too sure about these names. I wonder if God isn't going to give us a new name. I don't think I'm going to be Art Eggers for eternity. That's a name my parents chose. That's not the name God chose. But anyway, I'm going to be identified with the Lamb's Book of Life, or I'm going to be identified with his identification, that is, eternal life. So it isn't the names that was before the foundation of the world. The only way to get out of this difficult is remember what we read in Ephesians 1. The whole new creation was inscribed, names are inscribed in God's hand. Hands speak of power, care, protection. It does not refer to our own individual names, but to the names of part of a new creation. One more thing we should look at in this. The time's getting away from us. But another in the 8th chapter of Romans, which our lesson sheet doesn't seem to mention. But we have the same thought that's kind of confusing. In Romans 8, I'm going to read from verse 28, I believe. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, to be conformed into the image of his Son, and he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, that he also called, and whom he called, that he also justified, whom he justified, and he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Again, let's look at the plurals that are in this. It all speaks of a new creation. We might go all the way up to verse 23 of this. And not only they, but ourselves also, which had the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves, yes, we as reference to the new creation, grown there within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. This new creation groans within this body, wanting to be free, wanting to be set free, wanting the redemption of this body, wanting a glorified body. And all these we's, and down through here, for we are saved by hope. See, this is a new creation, not an individual. This is a hope of our glorified body that we go in. And when we drop off this body and get a new body, well, this is our hope. And this is our ultimate salvation. But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. And notice that we's, all these are collective, speaking of a new creation, all down through here, the we's and us's mentioned here, for we know